Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
We're doing another Not a Thing podcast. I'm not going to welcome you this week.
Podcast time. You're not welcome.
No,
You
okay.
can listen. We'll allow you to listen. No, please listen. I was kidding.
Please listen. No. We're not going to beg. We're not going to beg. We're okay.
Pull yourself together, man.
We have to
Some
give so
dignity.
much value that people come to us, right? Isn't that? That's what we're doing, right? We're generating value.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Generate something.
Something. Little noise here and there. Oh, that does remind me. There has been some noise generated back to us in recent days. I'd like to give a quick shout out to blog commenter Auntie Geezer, who mentioned that apparently the Daily Show also talked about a topic that we talked about on the We the People website and how they changed the petition threshold from 25,000 to 100,000. And then they even mentioned the same thing we mentioned, which was about building the Death Star. So, thank
But
you
we put it
for
out first.
yes, thank you for listening, and John Stewart, we're coming for you.
Yeah. I want their next Emmy. They have enough. I know they don't give Emmys for podcasts, but I want one. I want an
Well,
Emmy.
we obviously should get the first one. We'll
Yeah, why
work
not?
this out. Yeah, we'll start a petition,
As I've said before, it's the quality of the listeners, not the quantity.
and we do have some quality listeners. So, a quick thank you for everyone who's listening and those that listen all the time, those that go onto our Facebook page and like us and follow us on Twitter and all that kind of good stuff. I'd like to say it's a major component of what drives me to do this every week, but actually, what's a really major component is just talking to you, Brennan. It's fun.
Mutual,
Aww.
man. It's mutual.
Pause for the sitcom "aw" noise. Someone, we got to get that soundboard working.
No.
Okay.
Soundboards on podcasts should not be a thing. This is not morning radio.
Hey, we're listening to yeah. Okay, anyway.
Now, if you wanted to do a morning radio podcast, I'd consider it. So you got to go all the way or not at all.
That's
It's all or nothing.
okay. I wonder if someone does morning radio podcasts. Like someone just
Why
wants
would
to
anybody
hear.
listen to that?
Right, why would someone listen to that not in the morning, right? It's like, "Oh, I can't get up in the morning to hear that." So let me be assaulted by sound effects and wowing voices at all hours of the day and night.
You shouldn't just have your ears be violated exclusively in the AM hours. I mean, you should have the right to have that happen anytime.
Oh, America. Something, I don't know. Anyway, okay. On to our first thing this week. I am impressed by this. A friend of mine tweeted it, and I picked it up. We'll go with it. Apparently, 3D company Autodesk that does software for a lot of computer-aided design, just in general of things. So stuff that lets you run 3D printers and otherwise see computer models of stuff. Apparently, is getting into the bioprinting business, which I didn't even know existed, but now I'm very excited about. And the story that caught my attention was that they want to be able to print 3D print organs. And it sounds kind of creepy and cool at the same time. I would assume that
Well,
you would
it's a
only
great idea.
Yeah.
You can, because there, as we spoke before, I mean, this is gonna, this podcast itself is gonna be a chronicle of the rise of 3D printing, because it seems like every new innovation we talk about it. So when they, you 3D print a gun, then you shoot somebody with it, then they can 3D print an organ to replace the organ that was damaged when you were shot with a 3D printed gun.
Everybody happy. This is great. Yeah. So
yeah, another step towards the robot domination of humans.
Because the robots are going to be like, we're just 3D printing all sorts of stuff for you guys. What's going on? Come on. But the 3D organ printing, I think, is really interesting because that's definitely a materials thing. Like when we talked about 3D printing the firearm, it's like it has to be able to withstand, you know, the pressures of a firearm going off. For 3D printing, like, a kidney, it has to be able to work in your body, A, and B, not be horribly rejected by your body, which I've heard is a problem even in non-3D printed organs. So that kind of stuff, I mean, what do you make it out of so your body is, like, cool with it being there, right? I mean, it's some kind of fancy plastic that the antibodies just don't start freaking out about, or that stuff has to get worked out. But there's probably...
Well, one of the people that was involved was the scientist who did the biophysicist who worked on test tube meat.
Oh, really?
So maybe that's going to play some part in it.
Okay, so in other words, it's using the 3D software or the computer-aided design software for the design portion of it, but not the actual printing. It's not 3D printed out of
a
MakerBot or something.
Well, I think that is what they want to do. I'm just saying that the guy who was involved in test tube meat is involved in the process.
Okay. Yeah, the
test tube. But I think the plan is to basically have a MakerBot for body parts. Like so something out of a crazy Snake Plissken movie.
Yeah, I do like the idea of test tube meat, because you're not a fan of test tube meat?
I mean, I'm a fan of the idea of test tube meat, but I'm not going to eat test tube meat.
Oh, okay. So I think it's actually, it has the possibility of being the perfect tasting meat, in that you can exactly measure out how the fat is woven into the muscle fibers and everything else, because that's one of the things that determines, you know, the texture and the flavor and all that kind of stuff. And if it can be designed, and kind of rapidly executed that way, it's more, it's also more humane from an animal perspective, because you're not like breeding animals that you're essentially just going to kill, etc., etc. But,
so what if somebody made in a test tube, they made people meat that wasn't from real people, but it had all the characteristics of people? Would you eat that? Is that cannibalism?
Well, so the way I heard it, PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, they cleared test tube meat because there's no animals involved.
There's your first strike right there. That's a count against it already.
Well, I also heard that the guy that did the test tube meat was also working on test tube leather, essentially too. So it's cruelty free leather. I'm
fine with that.
Yeah,
I don't use a lot of leather products. So that's fine with me.
Well, I will go on
as long as my shoes are made by small children. It's all good.
I'm sure even with test tube leather, someone still has to stitch it, and so, you know, that will still require people with tiny hands. So I think that'll be okay. It'll be okay.
You gotta keep the Southern Hemisphere employed.
They just have instead of, you know, huge feedlots and everything. They just have, you know, the factories building right up to the sweatshop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's humane to animals, not to the people.
We don't need to be humane to humans. What's that about?
It's in the word. Yes, you do.
Well, anyway, I will go on record as not being vegan necessarily, although I do every once in a while.
You eat way too much bacon.
I do every once in a while question the that kind of thing, but not I think moving that way technologically is a good thing. Although I do not advocate a full replacement until at least, you know, a number of tests have gone through about how the meat affects your body. Because the other thing is that meat that's engineered may not have all the nuances that we necessarily know about for
right.
meat that's grown in an animal. For lack of a better term.
I wouldn't say that I would never eat it. I'm just not going to be the beta test guy.
Oh, sure.
Like, maybe in many, many years, because I do understand the ecological benefits, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's important. But.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I don't want to be the beta tester. I agree. Should be a thing. I'll wait for version 2.
I'll wait for version, like, 6.
So for the bioprinting,
I'm not going to be early adopter.
Right. Maybe I won't join the Kickstarter. You know, maybe not right away, but the bioprinting of organs. So one thing that comes out of this is, I can understand, you know, getting organs for replacement of something that is bad, but. The thing that popped into my head immediately was, what about printing of organs or muscle structures or whatever in order to augment your body? I mean, not necessarily to have like a third arm or something like that, but like, you know, to make essentially enhancements and upgrades for muscles or something. And it kind of works in that kind of vein that we've talked about in the past for, you know, about using athletes using steroids. What if athletes were just like, I'm going to put big old biceps on me or whatever.
You could get Lance his other ball back.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I'm sorry. I went there. Yeah, no, I'm not sorry. Never mind.
Are we going to talk about Lance Armstrong at all, or are we?
What's there to say?
Yeah, I kind of feel like it's not a thing. I think at this point, it's. I think the interview itself. I mean, and this is all I'll say about it, is the interview itself. You kind of knew that it was, or not kind of. You knew what he was going to say. It's just kind of more a bummer that. It was actually said on primetime TV.
Yeah, well, and it was said in the most strategic way possible. You know, after all of the statutes of limitation have passed.
Yes.
Can't be prosecuted. No, yeah, I'll come clean. Rebuild my image.
Right. Yeah, that's gonna take a while. And so, you know, keep wearing those bracelets, dude. Keep wearing those bracelets.
You should just wear the Stephen Colbert wrist strong bracelets.
Oh, man. So anyway, 3D printing of structures for kind of performance enhancement. Go.
No.
No. So we
not,
were
not know that. No, I'm not going to talk about it. I mean, like, no, I don't like that idea.
So we were okay, because I know I was okay with performance enhancing drugs, but performance enhancing like crazy body modification, not a thing.
I think it should be saved for serious situations.
Okay.
So it's a precious technology. I'm sure someday it'll get to that, but let's not push things in that direction.
Right. So not, but like, cause so cosmetic 3D bioprinting, maybe not either.
No.
Yeah.
Although I did just watch, was that Johnny Mnemonic?
Oh, wow. It's a blast from the past.
And that, maybe that's what's put me off from body augmentation. Because Dolph Lundgren is no poster child for body modification in that movie.
That's very true. Very, very true.
And I will say, I never would have thought that Keanu Reeves got better at acting. But it's true, he has gotten better at acting. Still not good, but better.
So I'm a fan of just going into that a little bit. I am a fan of the wetware idea that was, you know, is the basis for Keanu Reeves' character anyway. That you can harness essentially storage systems built into your body for memory storage or whatever. I think that's a thing. Like using your not necessarily unused, but essentially, you know, multitasking parts of your body for stuff. I think that's kind of cool.
What kind of use would you put that to?
Well, I think
would it be for storage, work or for fun?
Data storage and retrieval would be my kind of thing. I would like to increase the kind of conscious computational power of my body. I think that would be an easy...
Well, there's these things called computers, Alan. They're really good at that. you can get like the size of your hand now.
Well, so I'm... In that case, I think I need... In that case, it's more of a question of artificial intelligence catching up a little bit so it can do tasks that I don't want to or would rather not think about. Because there are other things that I'd, you know, mental pursuits and stuff I would rather devote my time and energy to than.
So you know, would it be something that would allow you, that would be working in the background? Or would it be something that would be working in the foreground? So you could be doing whatever you want. So to whoever you were speaking to, it would appear that you're listening to them and doing what they want you to do. But in fact, you're in your own little world.
Wow. You're blowing my mind. That's essentially
it's
what
the
I
ultimate
do.
Painting eyes on your sunglasses.
I like both of those choices, actually. That is great. That should be a thing. For sure, I want full control of my subconscious to act as a second brain, and I can jump between my conscious and my subconscious as necessary. I like this.
That's madness, but I agree.
You know, it probably is madness because I think that's what you just generally call schizophrenia. I think.
Yeah, right. Maybe that test really was wrong.
Oh, golly. Yeah. But anyway, kind of going along in that fancy things you can do with test tubes vein, one story that came out very early in the week was a Harvard professor in kind of biology and DNA research apparently figured out or was excited about some stuff with DNA and stem cells, specifically around the possibility of cloning DNA from like a Neanderthal into, you know, a la Jurassic Park into like a, you know, to clone some, you know, a Neanderthal humanoid kind of thing, and it was what's kind of interesting about that, I mean, besides the fact of like, oh my gosh, you can do that, is he was apparently misquoted, because his original the original article that I had read, he was quoted as saying Yeah, all we're doing now is essentially looking for a willing woman that wants to give birth.
An adventurous female human.
Yes, that wants to give birth to a Neanderthal. And I kind of jumped back for a second because it's like, is really that all you need? and apparently not. Later in the week, there was a retraction printed because apparently the German newspaper that was putting it together, something literally was lost in translation. probably all sense of reality and prudence about, you know, human ethics. but yeah, he's actually not looking for someone to birth a Neanderthal. And in fact, he was quoted in English properly, apparently, that he doesn't even approve that something like that should happen, which I think is probably safer for him as a as a practicing professor of whatever he's
probably.
but yeah, I think going Jurassic Park on a humanoid is maybe not the best idea. Maybe not.
Yeah, what are you really accomplishing with that?
Right.
Did we evolve for a reason? Why would you get the lower grade model?
Right. Right. I mean, it's the extinction kind of stuff aside, I was not aware at all that things had progressed to the point that you could even do that. I mean, I understood Jurassic Park. I remember watching the cartoon on the ride.
Yeah, the cartoon explains everything.
Yeah, pretty much. So, it's everything you need to know. It should be.
We should try and link that.
Required watching in all classrooms, but the actual like implications of it are not practical implications, but the actual experiments around doing something like that, to that point, at least I was not aware that it had even come close to something like, oh yeah, well, let's just pop it into a human and see how it goes. And apparently, I was right. It had not. Because the one kind of thing I read about it, and this is a little bit disturbing only because it actually did happen, is that they were able to clone an extinct ancestor of an antelope and then try and implant it into like a genetic descendant or evolutionary descendant, rather. And
how did they get it to sign the consent form? That's not right.
Right. So you know, in short, it was born, but then essentially died very, very quickly. And so the long and short of it is that it's not ready for prime time. So
keep it on cable.
that's where all the kind of, you know, like experimental shows go, so it kind of makes sense. But yeah, I think just from coming back to ethics, this is the animal ethics show, apparently. yeah, super super not a thing. I mean, that animal definitely did not sign up for doing that. So
I mean, with reptiles it's fine because they're like cold-blooded monsters, but with a mammal, that's not right. I mean, they could clone a shark. Although wouldn't really be a point in cloning a shark because sharks have not changed that much,
right?
Over
right.
millions of years,
yes.
Because they're the ultimate killing machine.
Is it Shark Week already? Did I miss that? Come back around?
No, it's not. I wish it was.
Yeah, I wish it was Shark Week awesome. Like all the time because. Sharks should be a thing, for sure.
Sharks should be a thing as long as I'm not next to them.
Yeah, but yeah, the cloning of animals more just so we could have them around, maybe not. I think understanding and mapping the DNA and genome probably have a few more steps to go before, you know, we can start like messing with stuff at that degree.
Why would you want to create a repeat? I mean, it's been done. Let's make something new. Let's mix things. If you're going to go crazy Moreau, Dr. Moreau on everything, like, do it.
Oh, man.
Go all the way.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be kind of cool. But also kind of ethically uncertain grounds, maybe. Although, you know, we were just talking about growing meat in test tubes, so, you know, it's all.
Oh well, fun. That's totally different, Alan. Obviously,
yeah, pretty much.
These are for looking in science, not for eating.
Oh, but eating is so much fun. Eating is definitely a thing.
Yeah.
I say, you know. Recently coming off of a fast day, right? Yeah, that's not.
If they cloned dinosaurs, would you eat them?
Probably. Because what do you? What
okay,
else
so you'll eat a cloned dinosaur, but not test two people. I see how it is.
Well, what are you gonna do with a dinosaur? When a dinosaur dies, those things are huge, huge, right?
Yeah,
well,
true.
Well, generally they're huge. You only think of the huge ones. I mean, I guess, you know, Archaeopteryx or something would be a tinier dinosaur, and you wouldn't. I don't know, but that, at that point, it's you know, it's like that half dinosaur, half chicken kind of thing, which is, you know.
Yeah, would they taste like chicken?
Maybe all chicken tastes like dinosaurs.
Oh. Whoa. Let's just take a moment to let that sink in.
I think we need this needs further research. Further research.
Yeah, we'll get our people on it.
Oh man. So I think so cloning humans, probably not a good idea. Cloning Neanderthals, slightly
the worst
idea. Yes.
Cloning dinosaurs, great idea.
Especially if we put them on an island, kind of in the and we get to ride Range Rovers and check them out, because I really like that.
Although they should do it in a more industrialized place, so things aren't going to just fall apart and they're going to escape.
So what you're saying, like, is...
If Nevada is good enough for nuclear testing, it's good enough for breeding dinosaurs.
It's probably better for breeding dinosaurs because of the background radiation probably just helps with...
It helps grow them, right? That's right. How radiation works, isn't it?
Pretty much. Everything I've read in comic books has told me that, yes.
I'm no doctor, but I'm pretty sure...
We pretty much have to say that at the beginning of every show now.
That we are not doctors?
We're not doctors, we're not lawyers, we're not scientists, we're not engineers. Well, that
makes us sound really unaccomplished. Actually, I don't like that idea.
Actually, we're kind of both engineers, right? We're kind of...
A little bit.
Yeah.
I'm sure if we said that to an engineer, they would take umbrage, but... I don't see any engineers in front of us.
Right.
If there's any engineers listening... Sorry.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're kind of engineers.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll go.
We work in a technical field.
Yes. Yes. Hey, I studied engineering.
Okay. Well, then plus one to you.
Although, I've never had engineer in my title anywhere I've worked. So I guess technically I'm not an engineer from that point of view. Boo. Engineering. Well, actually, now that I think about it, there is a certification that you can get. There is a like an engineer exam that the city would recognize you as an engineer, but it's mostly for like civil engineers and people who build bridges and stuff like that. I build bridges kind of metaphorically, so
Well, I guess I kind of build bridges with, you know, bridges and switches and routers.
Oh, very nicely done. Very nicely done. Okay, we're going to go.
So, yeah, so I'm practically an engineer.
Yes. All right. Yes.
A network engineer.
Indeed, indeed.
On my way.
Oh, well, something we can definitely both agree on is a video that I found about this guy that made essentially this rig that you wear if you're welding, and it's used for augmented reality for welding. So normally when you're welding, you have this, you know, welder's helmet on, which is essentially a glorified pair of sunglasses, because the welding arc is so bright that it would destroy your vision. So you just put enough layers of, you know, plastic and glass in front of something and it's not so bright. But what you lose is, you know, the fidelity of whatever you're looking at. And so what this guy did was he essentially rigged up cameras that are sensitive enough to see the contrast between something even with that amount of brightness going on, and then filter it so it projects in the welder's mask. So, and it will actually also do it for each eye, so you get a 3D image of whatever you're welding. And I love this. I think this is great.
Wait, so you're telling me that there's technology that makes it harder to see things to protect your eyes, so you, and then there's something that's going to make it easier for you to see things while they're protected. Wouldn't it be easier just to use your eyes? Because I have these things called eyeballs that see in stereoscopic 3D and in different light conditions.
Yeah, well, so the other interesting thing that I had read for this in a different context was that they were using stuff like this for people that were building planes, and it's done. It wasn't done with a welder's mask and individual eye cameras and screens. It was done with like a, you essentially had a big like iPad, for lack of a better term, like a tablet PC that you would pull over the thing you were actually working on, and it would project, it would overlay kind of an image of what it was supposed to look like, and then you just wired it or configured it to match whatever you were looking at. So it was done on a like semi-transparent thing, so you know the wires just line up underneath what you're doing. And so I like the idea of kind of visual guidance of stuff. So you're essentially getting a heads-up display for welding in this case. I think it should be applied, so you should just be able to have a heads-up display for whatever you want. I am a fan of heads-up displays.
Like the Google glasses we spoke about earlier.
Yes, yes.
In another episode.
Yes, although while I don't like necessarily Google being in charge of it, I do like the idea of that.
So at some point, do you think they would be able to, they being the science people,
the engineers.
3D print? yeah, engineers. Science engineers. Wait, you mean the engineers like the people from Prometheus?
No,
because if it's on there, I don't want it.
No, I only think of engineers as wearing like long suspenders and having like really tall caps and work around trains a lot.
Oh, okay. But anyway, my point was, if they were at some point able to 3D print eyeballs that had this technology in them, would you get those eyeballs?
Yes.
Yeah, you would get rid of your natural eyeballs.
Unequivocally, yes.
So, really, you want to be Geordi LaForge?
Actually, I want to be Geordi LaForge after the visor.
Of the movies.
Yes.
Yeah, post-visor.
Yes, post-visor Geordi LaForge.
But you'll never know what a sunset looks like.
Unless I go to
actually,
that...
Actually, that's not true, because you've seen plenty of Sunseekers. Yeah. Hey, you've seen enough.
Right, so it's fine. It's,
give
it's
me, completely give me the spaceman eyeballs.
There's no downsides. No downsides to this.
All right, you've convinced me. Okay. I'm on board. But again, I'm not going to be an early adopter of the spaceman eyeball.
Again.
I'll wait for like Gen 5, Gen 6.
Right. Don't join the Kickstarter. Don't join the Kickstarter.
We are in favor of Kickstarter. We think it's a good idea for other things.
Yes. It does make for an interesting interaction between the purchaser of something and the producer of something. It makes that connection a lot closer, which I have seen that go very well for things that I've supported through Kickstarter, because you know, they had a very good plan about how they were going to create everything and pull everything together. But I've also seen it become extremely, extremely awful. And it usually brings out the worst in people, especially if there are any, even the slightest, like, amount of perceived delay or miscommunication in the Kickstarter, which is really unfortunate, because when you join a Kickstarter, in theory, you are supporting them, and then you are getting a reward for supporting them. But what people forget is the supporting portion of it, and remember only the reward portion. And so if the reward is delayed, people get crazy up in arms about the support. And I think that that's just, well, that should not be a thing. I like the idea of kickstarting and crowdfunding and the connection between the buyer and the producer to be really close. But the just kind of, you know, me, like, I've supported you, so now I'm entitled to say whatever I want and be really mean on the internet. That's just bad behavior. So
welcome to the internet.
Yes, indeed.
And welcome to the combination of the internet and the human race.
maybe the robots, that robots thing isn't a bad idea. Anyway, I have one story that's good in this respect of the connection between, like, a producer and a buyer, and I'm actually in the midst of this. I bought a kazoo. Now stay with me. I play ukulele, as some people know, and I have been to a show or two where people have played kazoos along with ukulele instead of singing, because it's kind of lower,
skill level?
There's that, yes. And there's lower kind of, I almost want to say...
expectations?
Yes, around kazoo playing versus singing. So I was like, okay, I could see how this goes. And so on a blog that I read... someone recommended this place who they make kazoos out of wood instead of plastic or whatever, and they're all hand finished. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'll toss them a few dollars and see how that goes. It, you know, if it goes well or not. And I was amazed at what the guy goes through. So it's the name of the kazoo factory is I believe it's the As We Go Kazoo Factory, and I can link the actual thing. The long and short of it is, the guy does this kind of as a hobby, and he does it every night. And what he does is he films, essentially from when he opens the shop to when he closes it, you know, at night. So for the 2 hours or whatever that he works on it, and then he splices up that video into for each kazoo that he's working on, and then he posts each of those up to YouTube, and then emails the person whose kazoo they're getting and says, oh, here's what I did today for your kazoo. If you want to watch me work on it, you know, here's a 5-minute video just to keep you in the loop. And I kid you not, I watched it twice. It's 4 minutes of a guy sanding a kazoo with like whatever background music he had in the shop. And I mean, that could have been, he could be using the same video for all, you know, 100 people that he's worked on, but I don't think he is, but it's just, I was amazed at how connected I was to the process and like, wow, this is impressive. I mean, he's using social media. It's on Facebook. He has a YouTube channel. He's emailing everybody, and I know that it's not a robot that's emailing me, because I actually asked two questions, and you know, I'm not saying it's a Turing test or anything, but I did ask two questions, and he responded back to me both times, you know, it's impressive that, you know, that someone that is doing something that is so low fidelity and low technologically, is using so much technology and communication to kind of sell it and build buzz and, you know, keep people in the loop and just get people excited about it. So, I mean, I've talked about it for 3 minutes, which is like ridiculous. It's a kazoo, people. It's a kazoo. And yet I think it's amazing. And I don't even have it yet. I think I'm going to get it sometime next week. So maybe if it comes in before the day we record, maybe I'll, you know, tack on a song or something at the
end. Yeah, do it. Make that a thing, Alan. Make Indeed. It a thing.
Yeah, I can work that out. But yeah, I think that's one of the things that the thing that most impressed me coming back to it is really just the human element really shining out in something that's so technologically kind of built, right? I mean, as much as we talk about kind of the niche technologies and kind of ways to kind of produce stuff for yourself or consume things that are you know, are yours rather than stuff that is kind of mass broadcast, being able to find kind of the human connection in those things is a thing and should be a thing. So that's where I am this week. Ah, so yes, kazoos. Brendan, how are you doing? You think we're gonna make it this week?
I think we're good.
Okay, good.
I think we can all go to sleep with dreams of kazoos dancing through our heads.
Kazoos being played on 3D printed lips grafted onto a Neanderthal that was birthed out of a woman in Germany.
Actually, no, you know, don't go to sleep. Because, I mean, we're recording this at night. People could be listening to this whenever. So if you're driving your car, do not fall asleep.
Although if you're a passenger,
running on a treadmill, do not fall asleep.
If you're a passenger in said car,
yeah, knock yourself out.
If you're the only passenger in the car, you probably shouldn't fall asleep because you should be keeping your driver awake. That is that's the job of the wingman. But if you're in the back seat, you know, if you're doing a driving Miss Daisy thing, yeah, go ahead, nod off.
All you Miss Daisies out there, go ahead and head off to Dreamland.
Anyway, thanks everyone for listening. We'll have more stuff next week, I'm sure. Good talking to you, Brendan.
Until next time, Alan.